You're very welcome back to the news at one. The UN has called for restraint after Yemen's Houthi rebels and Israel traded airstrikes. Houthis, backed by Iran, say they fired a missile at Israel's Ben Gurion airport, which appears to have been intercepted. This follows yesterday's strike by Israel on the international airport in Sana'a and power stations inside Yemen. Jim Muir is Middle East correspondent based in Lebanon, and he joins us this lunchtime. Jim, Israel and Yemen are 2,000 kilometres apart. They're not exactly close neighbours. Why are they targeting each other's capitals?
Well, essentially because the Houthis, who run part of Yemen, not the whole country, took it on themselves to back the Palestinians in Gaza and started trying to rocket and send drones and stuff towards Israel, as well as interrupting international shipping in the Red Sea, all in support of the Palestinians in Gaza, as I say. And they've said, that, and they are repeating now, that they will keep this up until there is peace in Gaza. In other words, they're going to keep firing rockets, and they fired another one today, although it's intercepted. I have to say that in general, Yemen has never really been much more than a nuisance to Israel, except that once or twice it's fired rockets or missiles that have managed to get through the Israelis' missed them, as it were. They weren't able to bat them back or intercept them. So Israel is unquestionably much, much, much more powerful. But as you say, this is a very remote conflict because they are thousands of miles apart. But Israel can do much more damage. It's already taken out a couple of, in addition to the attack on the airport, which actually caught the World Health Organization chief as he was about to take off, and one of his crewmen were injured. In addition to that, they've knocked out a couple of, or at least hit a couple of power stations, installations at the port of Hodeida, and other targets, military targets, they say. Total of six people killed, which isn't a huge number. And the Yemenis are sort of making light of it. They're saying that we can get the port going again and the airport within hours. So they're making light of it and saying they're going to keep it up, which they seem to be doing. So, as you say, Mr. Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, has made it clear that this is just the beginning, and they intend to do to the Houthis in Yemen what they did to Hezbollah in Lebanon and to Hamas in Gaza.
And of course, back in Gaza, Israel and Hamas had reported just days before Christmas that they were closer than ever to a peace deal. What appears to have happened?
Well, it's all under very close wraps this time round. Both sides are keeping it very, very tight in terms of information. But there have been some not terribly hopeful signs in that both Mr. Netanyahu and Hamas have been trading accusations that the other side is to blame for delays and problems. Nonetheless, you get the feeling that it is inching towards the line. And of course, it's the inauguration of President Trump in January that is sort of the deadline, as it were. He's made it clear he wants to see that thing wrapped up before he takes office. He doesn't want to inherit a bunch of wars in the Middle East. But we're left in the dark as to exactly where it's got to, and whether, as Hamas would claim or has claimed, Mr. Netanyahu and the Israelis are bringing out more conditions towards the end, or, as Mr. Netanyahu would say, Hamas itself has been reneging on previous commitments. So, as I say, there's bad vibes, but also feeling that in the background things may be inching forward.
And briefly, Jim, moving to Syria, Damascus, today the scene of a big military show by the group that drove Assad from power. Any signs, though, that this new Islamic leadership can hold Syria together?
Well, it's very much in the balance, it has to be said. It's a monumental task facing them. They're not a huge force. They've only got about 10 or 15,000 men of their own that they can really count on. And it's a huge country with lots of different factions and minorities and so on, and a lot of potential for trouble. And there has been trouble with some diehard Alawi adherents of the collapsed regime of Bashar al-Assad. There was a nasty clash at Tartus with them. And there are many other ways in which it could come badly unstuck. But a lot of people are giving the new leader the benefit of the doubt. He's saying all the right things, doing many of the right things, but whether he can actually succeed in sustaining that and keeping it going and stabilizing the country, it's a very, very big task.
Jim, you're in Lebanon. Thank you very much for joining us on the News at One today.